Why don't you just give somebody next to you, say, you are awesome. Just say. Why don't you take a seat now? Let's start with the prayer. Let me pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Shalom, everyone. As last couple of weeks, I've been thinking like what to preach, and they just approach me and say like, can you talk about the church, the new creation? So I will start with this, all right? Does anybody got an Apple product in your hand? Yes, you have? Yeah, or MacBook or iWatch or, right? But things were different in 1997, right? For the Apple, right? 25 years ago, things were really looking bad. One of the richest and the valuable company in the world. So what happened to 1997? So the Apple was in a corporate life support. Like the media was talking, like saying that, okay, this is the end of the very promising company, Apple, right? Because they introduced the product, they introduced some Mac computers, but things were not working for this company. Then things changed. In a desperate move, Apple brought back the man who expelled a few years back and asked him to join the company. Do you know who his name is? Steve Jobs. So when he returned to the Apple company, right, he returned not just with money, expertise, or the managerial expertise, sort of say, but he brought life resuscitating elements of thinking differently to have an effective, positive outcome for this company. The turning point, what Steve Jobs did in his famous advertising campaign, which is called Think Different, it changes the whole company, how they look at the world. So he formed this video production with a great company, and he focused on one of the major personalities and profiled them in this video and gave a different thought of reaching out to the human beings. So let's look at the video. I hope the YouTube won't block us, okay?
Here's to the crazy ones, the misfits, the rebels, the troublemakers, the round pegs in the square holes, the ones who see things differently. They're not fond of rules, and they have no respect for the status quo. You can quote them, disagree with them, glorify or vilify them. About the only thing you can't do is ignore them. Because they change things. They push the human race forward. And while some may see them as the crazy ones, we see genius. Because the people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do.
So what does this video have to do with us and leading a Christian life? Well, as surprising as it is, God commands us as Christians to think differently. You may remember the famous sermon what Peter gave at the beginning of Acts 2:38. Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Right? And then in Mark, when he began his ministry, Jesus himself told his followers, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." So I wonder, what does the word repent mean? Some may think it's a bit a religious sounding, wrapped in a either syrupy, harsh language. But what's the reality? The Greek word translated into repent is metanoeo. The Greek word combines with two words. One is meta, which means change after, and neo, which means think. So if you put those words together, literally it means think differently. So the Bible is full of the language to the word repent, literally means think differently, right? If you outline the Paul's instructions in the Philippians, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Right? He directs us to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Then Peter tells us this in 1 Peter 1:13. "Prepare your minds for actions. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given to you when Christ Jesus is revealed." Do you know the story of Caleb? Have you heard the name Caleb? Yes? So the Caleb was a spy, right? But God made a compliment for Caleb. Why? Because of this, right? It says in the Numbers 14, verses 21 to 24, it says like this: "But as surely as I lived and as surely as my glory filled the whole earth, I make this promise. All these men saw the glory and the miracle I did in Egypt and in the desert. But they disobeyed me and tested me 10 times. So not in one of them will see the land I promised to their ancestors. No one who rejected me will see that land. But my servant Caleb thinks differently and follows me completely. So I will bring him into the land he has already seen, and his children will own the land." And as we who are Christians fulfill our commission of proclaiming the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God, to the ends of the earth, literally the entire planet, we indeed truly need other people to move forward. So what about you? Are you ready to think differently and change the world? So what do we need? What do we need? Listen, most of us don't know where we are going. Most of us are suffering from the Columbus syndrome. Do you know what you mean by Columbus syndrome? Columbus set off and he didn't know where he was going. This is Christopher Columbus, right? And when he got there, he didn't know where he was. And when he got back, he didn't know where he had been. This is called Columbus syndrome. So what do we need? What do we need in life? We need three things. We need insight, we need foresight, and we need oversight. That's what we need. That's pretty good, wasn't it? We can put it on a Twitter. So we need insight, we need foresight, and we need oversight. Insight is looking through a microscope. Foresight is looking through a telescope. Oversight is viewing your house where you live from a helicopter. Right? So who has insight? Who has oversight? Who has foresight? Only God. And if we want to have that kind of sight, and we want to see that the way God sees, then we have to see God. We have got to fix our eyes on God. Have you ever met your doppelganger? It's a new word, I think. A doppelganger is someone who looks like you but isn't related to you. I don't know whether you can see a couple of examples there. So this is somebody, he met him when he was going for a wedding in Ireland. So he met his doppelganger, right? The next slide, you will see a famous person, UFC, one of the champions, right? Ronda Rousey, if you have heard. So that's her doppelganger, but they are not related, right? So my question for today is, who does our church body look like, right? Who is our church doppelganger, right? There's only two options, the world or Christ. If you look like a world, we will look and act like non-believers. We see around us every day. We will talk and like them and think like them and value the things they value. We will mirror their lives. Or we will talk or think like Christ, who looks completely different than the world. Right? So Apostle Paul writes to the Ephesians and asks the same question. Who do you look like? Do you look like the world, or do you look different like Jesus? So what's at stake? It's everything. If you claim to be Christian, but the world is our doppelganger, you look, you talk, and act like non-Christians. We might not be real Christians at all. But if your doppelganger is Christ, if you are becoming more like him over some time in your thoughts and your actions, and then we are on the right path, then we look like Christ and act differently in Christ. So let's have an honest assessment about ourselves today. Let's get real. If we look like Christ, wonderful, praise God, thank you, Jesus. But if there is ways we look like the world, if our churches look like the world, the way they think, let us repent and return to following Jesus. Right. So my question is, what does the world look like? So we need to see how Paul thinks about the world. Right? So in the first chapters, as we are doing this series on Ephesians, you must have grasped that he speaks about all the grace God has given to believers. For example, if you are a believer, God has forgiven your sins. That's Ephesians 1, verse 7. He adopted you like to his heavenly family, as brothers and sisters in Christ. Right? But the second half of the letter, he gives a playbook, right, for how God's grace should change our lives. And he does partially by contrasting us with how non-believers think and behave. So let's look at the verse, chapter 14, verse 17 to 19 and verse 22. It says like this. Paul says, "So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts." So he speaks about two things. One is ignorant, hard-hearted. And then he speaks about selfish and deceit. Right? This is what the world looks like. I remember talking to somebody the other day on Friday. So I attend to this new Norfolk meeting. So this is a community meeting which all the social workers, those who work in the community, they come together. So I represent the church, right? So this group, they talk about how we can invest on the community, right? So they got a grant for $120,000. And they are going to build a mobile sports trailer, which has all the new gadgets, bikes, skates, and all inside with the coffee machine on it, right? So as we were discussing, then they come around and ask me a question. How can your church can help us on this? Right? It's a good thought. Good thought. And are we going to become social workers? Or are we going to be Christ followers? Right? So the world is want to act like, okay, we are doing good works. That is good. But are we think differently like Christ? Right. We are going to be Christ followers. If we are losing that, we can't call be Christ followers. We will become non-believers again. So that's the difference. That's the difference. So if we act like that, non-believers, what's the outcome of it? What's the outcome? It's the separation from the life-giving God. Right? That it says in the verse 18. Let me read it for you. they are separated from the life of God. Minds that rejects Christ leads to a life rejecting eternal life in Christ. What will happen? The results will be disaster. There is no satisfaction, right? There's always desire overtakes again and again and again. So you won't fulfill. So we will become like the world, right? What happens if Christ doesn't live in your heart? You feel other things. Alcohol, other desires, right? You keep on satisfying things, but which won't last long, right? So think differently in Christ. So what should the believers do? Well, Paul gives an answer. So let me tell you. Let's look at Ephesians 4, verse 20 to 32. So I won't have time to read the whole section, but I'll give you a short summary of what Paul wants to say. Right? So he says the Christians are supposed to think differently. I'll give you a small example of it. Maybe you are familiar with IBM. Can we have the picture? IBM, right? When you look at that, do you see what the slogan is there? ThinkPad. Right? This is why they call their laptops ThinkPads. They want to take everything into consideration. So you know what the Apple did when they come in the 90s? They took this slogan and said, okay, I'm not going to have the same slogan. I'll have think differently. Right? So what does Paul say to the Ephesians here? Right? They're saying to Ephesians, okay, you don't like to blend with the Christians now, right? If you are an unchristians, because you think differently, act differently, okay? And share things differently. But what does the Apple company do? They don't want to blend. The world doesn't want to blend with us because they think we are nutters. Something wrong in our bolt. Right? Because they want to have their own freedom, own independence. Right? But for us, when we think differently in Christ, we act differently. So they don't like that. That's why there's always attack from the world. These bunch of Christians, how can we get rid of them? That's what happened in Ephesus. So Paul is saying the same thing. You need to think differently in Christ. No matter what happens, whatever the slogans that come from the world, but be aware of it, but think differently, act differently in Christ. So if our actions and our thinking in Christ, our old self will be transformed into a new self. Let me just summarize what Paul says here. If you have a falsehood before you become a Christian, you will transform that to speaking truthfully. If you have a sinful anger, you will transform that to sinless anger. Sinless anger. If you are stealing, you transform that into a sharing. If you do unwholesome talk, it will transform that to build others up, build communities. If you have bitterness in your life, you will transform that in Christ to kindness, compassionate, and forgiving. So what's the outcome of the renewed mind? Repentance and transformation. What's the outcome? Paul says it is righteousness, holiness, and following the gospel values. So let's all stand up. I won't keep you long. Let's all stand up and admit that nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus. And Jesus says, I know what happened inside of you. I know better more than yourself. I know your motivations. I know your subconscious drives. I know your reasons of behaviors, thoughts and dreams, even though you don't know them. And I love anyway. He says, if you hide it from me, it only destroys you day after day. But if you give it to me, it will be like a cleansing of wound. I will heal with my blood upon your heart, and it will find peace, freedom, reconciliation deep inside. The world cannot ever give you satisfaction. A world cannot give you a reconciliation. A world cannot fill you with the Holy Spirit, but I will fill you with the Holy Spirit. We can't manufacture it artificially. We can get drunk, we become stoned, or try to entertain ourselves with sexual intimacy that is not lasting for a moment, to fill that emptiness inside us. But in the end, we will face the truth, things deeply wrong inside of us. When you don't have the Spirit inside of us, you tend to go into your own satisfaction, your own freedom. You get drunk. You fill with the otherworldly things. But Jesus says, right now, bring that truth to me. I will heal it with my blood. I will satisfy you with my death. I will satisfy with you my resurrection. I will send the Holy Spirit. Let us invoke the Holy Spirit to come inside now. Come, Holy Spirit, come. I will give you grace. What the world laughs at people who talks about the forgiveness of sins. Buddhism scorns that and says you have to carry your burden of your karma generation to the generations. Life cycles to life cycles. There is no escape. But Jesus, from the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. Let's accept that. And let's acknowledge that into our hearts. And if you're right now in sort of an addiction, in sort of a brokenness, in sort of an emptiness in your heart, right now bring that in front of Jesus and say, Jesus, this is my truth. I give my truth right now. I accept you right now. Give me your healing. Give me your healing. Let's experience that right now. Let's pray to the Holy Spirit. Jesus, I accept you right now. I want you to live inside of me, inside my bones, inside my veins, inside my blood. Every step of the way, when I walk out of this place, walk with me. Change my heart. Accept me who I am. And Jesus said, I accept you right now. No matter who you are, come as you are because I love you. Let's invoke the Spirit into our hearts and praise His name. Let the Spirit come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Let's say, thank you. Thank you for Jesus for accepting me. Thank you for being in my life. Thank you for giving me the directions. I think differently because of you. Heal in mind. Heal in your subconscious. Heal in your emotions. Heal in the hidden part of your life, which brings our addictions and behaviors transformed into the very nature of our Savior, Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we pray this morning, let this truth sink into our hearts. We become so addictive to the outside world. But right now, I want to think different. In you, I accept you. I can't deal with the outside world, but I can deal with you, Jesus. Let's free ourselves. In Jesus' name.